Thank you for that. Well, today we're beginning a new series. And as I think as someone said, Joel maybe said, this is kind of a, tomorrow's a national holiday, the Wayne County Fair, as you know. And by the way, we did our annual fair feed, we call it. We serve just under 600 meals on Thursday night. Have chafers in the event center and then take wagons out to the extremities of the park and serve people. What a joy it is to serve. And when we do that, we're representing all of you. So thank you for all of you that serve, but thank you for your faithfulness in so many ways and your acts of generosity. So today we're starting a new series, and I'm calling it Makeover, and I'll have a word, kind of a subtitle for each one. Today it's Review. And I think it's appropriate because makeovers are such a big thing now. Makeover, makeover, we talked about that in the last week or two. Just everybody's into that. Taking something that's maybe broken down, run down, and making it as good as new or even better than new. And if that's true in a physical sense, how much more true is that in a spiritual sense? And that's a connection I want to make today as we focus in on this word, review. So I know we have various opinions about the past, but sometimes it's really fun to go back and think about, to review, to remember the past. I don't know if you're drawn more to do that the older you get. Dixie and I were in Canton, I think on my birthday it was, on a Friday, and we drove around Tusk Avenue and 100 Central Plaza South at Citizen Savings, used to be where I worked in high school and college, and then up Cleveland Road and to Logan Sports Shop, North Canton Hoover High School alma mater. And I want you to know that I got myself a letter jacket. My parents would never get one because they were too cheap. But I got myself one. Is that okay? So one of these Sundays, I'm going to come out sporting my orange and black. But it was memorable. Going by the former high school that's now the middle school, but it just stirred all kinds of memories. And my point is, sometimes it's really good to go back and to review the past, and it stirs up so many things, and I hope it does today. When I played basketball in high school and college eons ago, two knees ago at least, it was really common after a game to go during study hall, and we were allowed to go to the locker room and watch game films, and we did that. You know what? A lot of people say, we did that to discover what we did wrong. Well, maybe, but I like to see what we did right as well. How many know you can learn from what you did right, too, because you want to duplicate it? But the trend in sports has become to regularly undergo reviews, 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 reviews. In fact, we used to see slow motion instant replay, and we know and can second guess what happened on the field or on the court, but that's led to lengthy reviews. And have you heard this? I heard this, I'm sure, yesterday at one point. The officials will come out and turn on their mic and say something like this: the previous play is under further review. You know what that means. That means it could be 5 minutes later, and it changes the momentum of the game many times and things like that. But it's going back to see what really happened. So my question to you is this: why is it so important or necessary, I put, to do it over, to replay or to review? Because, I'll answer that quickly, you can think about it, but the past has so much to teach us, I believe, if we're willing to go there. There are so many things that trigger memories of various kinds, some good, some not so good, but again, we're reminded and the senses come alive. And think about all the popular songs. If you took the memory songs in line, you could just have song after song, you know, memories like the corner of my mind, it's yesterday once more, on and on and on, songs about memories. So if that's true, again, in a physical sense, if that's true in our life here on earth, how much more is that important when it comes to our spiritual lives? And I want to talk about that, and specifically like this. I want us all in these next few minutes to think about and to review God's faithfulness. Because reviewing God's faithfulness, remembering God's faithfulness, it has everything to do with where you are now and where you're going to be, where you're going to end up. It is thinking about it. It's an intentional act. In fact, I'll call it this. I'll call it an essential spiritual discipline, and that is reviewing the faithfulness of God. That is a spiritual discipline. Now, are you practicing it? What does it take? Do you intentionally do that, or does something just have to jog your mind and heart? I'll talk about it toward the end, but in the Old Testament, God moved on behalf of the people, his people time and again. And when it happened, he would have them build a stone altar or a monument to help them remember so they would never, ever forget. And we'll come back to that because that so impacts the generations. So reviewing the faithfulness of God causes us to embrace and engage, trust in him as we move into the present and beyond into the future. That's what I want you to remember today. Now, we talked about it last week because we had a Sunday morning of worship and we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. We partook in that ritual, that sacrament. And Jesus established it and says in Luke 22:19, I'm sure I read it last week, but it's at the end, he said, this is my body, this is my blood, he said, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this so you'll never forget. Do this to review what I've done for you. Never forget. Do it repeatedly until I come again. So, reviewing. I want to talk about that in a couple ways and then how we can really implement that in our lives. I'll say it another way. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past helps us trust him in the present. Think about it. I want you to think about it deeply. Moses reminded the people of Israel about God's faithfulness. He spoke to them. In fact, he had several long, lengthy rants, if you will, and it's recorded in Scripture. And before he went up on the mountain to die where God was going to show him the promised land, and then he took him into his arms and he died. But they'd been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, if you've ever heard of the story. And now they were at the border. They were poised to enter the promised land. But here they were. They had been grumbling and complaining. And I mean, God had done thing after thing. And when we read it, we go, what are they worried about? Because God has been so faithful to them. But they were filled with worry. They were concerned. They had apprehension because there were people inhabiting the land. And they were powerful, the Bible says. And they were also evil people. The Bible's clear about that. They weren't sure they could win. Did you hear me? They weren't sure they could win. And I want to say, sometimes we have the same problem. We're not sure we can win. Well, we can't, but he can. You got that? So let's adjust our focus right there. But I want to direct you to Deuteronomy 7. I want to read some verses there, beginning in 17. Okay, so set the stage. They're uneasy. They've rebelled against Moses' leadership time and again. But Moses said this, and I like this. He said, perhaps you will think to yourselves. That's important because a lot of times we all think to ourselves a lot of times things that we would never say or act out. But he said, perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? Substitute the words, not just them, but that's life principles for now. How can we ever conquer that has seemed so powerful in my life, has seemed such control over my life? Verse 18, but don't be afraid of them. This is Moses imploring them. Listen, do you trust me? Trust God. Listen, just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all the land of Egypt. I mean, he wiped them out, literally. Verse 19, remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them? You saw it all with your own eyes. And I wonder if he said parenthetically, have you forgotten? Have you not been told about the mighty wonders and miracles of God? And remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the strong hand, I love it, and powerful arm with which he, strong hand and powerful arm, the scriptures say that time and again, with which he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use this same power against all the people you fear. And I want you to step into that verse and say, you could say, the Lord God will use the same power that he delivered them with in your life, whatever the case may be. So what is it that you need to review in order to remember? Was there a time in your life where God moved absolutely mightily? I mean, is that fresh on your behalf? Have you forgotten? Do you remember when he made a way for you where there seemed to be no way? I mean, I want you to think about it. We're so good about praying for this, that on the front end, but we're not as good about praising him and thanking him when he comes through. I want you to reflect, and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will prompt your heart about something you need to review and remember, reminding you of God's faithfulness today and moving forward. In difficult and rough times, sometimes when God seems distant, Pastor Joel prayed about that today, we can begin to doubt God's faithfulness in the present. And to combat that, we must choose to review. We've got to do the rewind. We've got to do it again and again. We have to, on purpose, remember and talk about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Dixie and I often speak boldly and confidently into the depths of troubled marriages. We've been doing that for some years now, that are at their lowest point of impossibility because we've been there. And even as I speak today, I mean, that hits people in this room, people that are online. There are so many marriages that are at a breaking point. And I would say, we would say something like this, remember who and whose you are. If you trust in God's faithfulness and if you practice forgiveness and follow him, he can take something Satan intended for evil and turn it right side up. If you don't rationalize and spin sinful choices, he can turn the very worst into good. He can recreate and restore your marriage if you'll let him. He can use you as a testimony of his grace because you've never forgotten. And I can say this, we can say this because we know people who have experienced him in this way, beginning with this pastor in Dixie. And if you've never seen our story online, my story, you can pull that up and know what you're getting into being a part of this church, those of you that are newer. So, first of all, You learn to trust him now, presently, because of his faithfulness in the past. And I'm praying again that the Holy Spirit will prompt you to think of something specific that maybe you haven't focused on or remembered or reviewed before. But it's that confidence, that God confidence, embracing that kind of trust in who he was and what he's done, that gives us hope as we move forward a new direction into the future. This relevant life principle is shown in a wonderful story that I often refer to, but a story of David and just a little bit of the backstory is that he went from a lowly position in the society, you know, the youngest brother kind of kicked out to the pasture land. He went from tending the sheep to fighting, conquering it, and facing and conquering this giant seasoned warrior named Goliath. And little did he know that God was showing himself mighty on his behalf when he was in the field, long before this event. And that's what I want you to see today. God is so good at connecting the dots from wherever you've been. He faced him armed only with a sling and a few stones, and he challenged it. The king didn't like it. He thought he was being brash, and he chastised David for being overzealous and inadequate. His brother thought, who is this punk, this pipsqueak? They didn't like it. But this is how David responded. I love these things to draw out of scripture. I love it. This is how David responded. In 1 Samuel 17:34, but David respectfully persisted. I love that line, don't you? I wonder if a whole lot of circumstances would go a lot better if we would respectfully persist. David did it, and here's what he said to the king. I mean, the king, we can't relate to that. The king had so much power, but he said, sir, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear came to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club, rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. And we're talking about lions and bears. Next verse. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, here it is, God confidence, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. And then Saul finally relented, gave in, and said, all right, lad, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Don't you love David's God confidence? Why? Because he remembered God's faithfulness when he was just a shepherd boy. And he brought it to bear on the present circumstance. Oh my, that's what'll get some of us out of the rut today. We need to remember, we need to review the faithfulness of God and bring his presence, his active presence into our active situation right now. If he was able then, he's able now. If he could rescue then, he can rescue now. So true. Will you do that in your present situation? He drew his strength from remembering, from reviewing what God had done in the past, and it filled him with God confidence, not self-confidence. I love that about David. And I would suggest to you that, again, that we need to go to school on how he responded. And that means apply it to our present situation. Going back to our marriage example, for example, you may feel like your for better or for worse vows are in the worst zone right now. But as you believe and follow and lean into with God's help, I tell you, he can turn things around and in a new direction. So I would just say to you as your pastor, if you'll let me be, no matter who you are today for this time, don't give up on that marriage relationship that God may want to restore and raise up as a testimony. Don't give up on that wayward child or grand. You think I prayed, I've been there, done that. No, keep praying, keep pressing in. Don't give up on that God-given call or dream that he has placed in your heart. Don't just dismiss it. Keep getting his word in you. Cling to his word. Lean into God's person and his promises and his presence. My mom and dad used to say something like this. I didn't call her mom, but mother and daddy would just say something like this. I'm sure not original them, but they would say always, I heard them pray it with people and tell them, the future is as bright as the promises of God. But I'm here to tell you, it's still true because he is the same God. He is the same God. In fact, I'm going to have Nate sing that in a couple moments. We're going to sing it with him, just a portion of that song. But it reminded me of that. I think it's an Elevation song, the same God or you are the same God. Listen to some of the words quickly, the lyrics. I want to read with passion. I'm calling on the God of Jacob whose love endures through generations. That means us too. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Can anybody relate to that? Your giants could be circumstantial. The chorus goes, oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, you answered them now. You are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You're the same God. You moved in power then, God. You move in power now. You are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God. You were a savior then, you are the savior now. You are the same God. You freed the captives then, and you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. Is that encouraging or what? That gives me goosebumps just to read those God-inspired lyrics. Holy Spirit genius, as I call it. So powerful. That's a message for you and me. So let's review. Let's remember. You say, Pastor, how in the world are we going to do that? Well, I want to tell you again, I believe it's totally intentional, but I just want to sum it up in this. When I was in school, I've often told you my favorite class besides gym was show and tell. Does anybody ever remember show and tell? Do they still do show and tell? Right? I mean, what, in kindergarten or first grade? I don't know, but I loved it because I love to hear the stories. I love to see it. And so those are the things that I would point out today. I, at this age and stage, sometimes it seems like I'm prone to remember what I should forget, and I forget what I should remember. Can anybody relate to that? No, you're looking at me like I'm the only one in the room that has that problem. Just wait till the years start stacking up. I remember what that pastor said a long time ago. Yeah. So we need to show and tell in order to review, to remember. Review God's faithfulness repeatedly. Don't stop. Yes, the Lord's table, but in our own life. But you got to show it and you got to tell it. So let's talk about showing it. My mother was a wordsmith. I've told you before. And I mean, we didn't use crude words like B-U-T-T around our table. And I could think of other words. We could go there from there. I mean, she didn't allow that. I mean, they didn't allow it. There was no crude, rude talking. You know, we had to treat the king's English with respect for sure. And she was also a champion for writing things out. She'd say, if I was studying for a test, what do you do when you're getting ready for a test? You review, right? You review the information. She'd say, I want you to write it out. Oh, longhand. I mean, how many of you like me, you can hardly remember to write in cursive nowadays? I can hardly sign my name now because I'm used to typing it, doing the E sign or whatever. But she was big about that. I said, you'll always remember it. If you write it down, you can go back and reflect. That will sink deep into your memory. And now I'm carrying on because I'm up in the night, you know, awake maybe an hour or so last night, and I have my phone right there with my note app on it. And if I have a brilliant thought, I don't want to spend half the day tomorrow thinking about what I had was a great idea in the night. So I write it down, and then it's there in the morning. So I'm proving it true again. When I write it down, I'm prone to remember it. It triggers it when I see it. I like it. The Old Testament story continues with the Israelites now as they're prepared to enter the promised land. Here's the problem. You know, we talked about their uneasiness because the land was uninhabited, but one of the first obstacles was here we go again, the Jordan River. I mean, it just keeps popping up in the story. You ought to read about it in the Old Testament. Crossing the uncrossable Jordan River at that time because it was a flood stage and there were masses of people. So here's what happened. God in his faithfulness, as they reviewed and remembered, God instructed Joshua. He was a newbie. He was a new leader. He didn't have the credibility yet of Moses, and this helped him get more God working through him. But God said, Joshua, command the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, that's that sacred box, and stand. Go stand in the middle of the river. Here's what happened. As soon as their feet touched the water, the waters went apart and the walls came up. I mean, they didn't have to wade in water to get to the middle. The Bible says the seas parted when their soles of their feet hit the water. They stood there, and everybody passed through. God parted the waters. And I wonder what they were thinking. And I don't know who was there. We know the people over a certain age had died in the wilderness in those 40 years. But I bet they're scratching their heads, and they must have said something like that when the water was flowing away. They must have said, it's God. He's doing it again. They started remembering, reviewing. It's God. He showed up. He's here, and he's doing it again. Do you think that gave them any encouragement about the people they were going to have to face? I think some of us need to be saying, it's God. He's showing up. He's showing up. He's doing it again in my life, in our family. After they'd all crossed over on dry land, the priests were probably still standing in the river because once they got out, the waters came back together. But let's pick up the story in Joshua 4, verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen. This wasn't the priest. This is 12 men that he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, now listen carefully. He said, I want you, the priests are still there, the land still, you can pass through it, it's still dry enough. I want you to go in the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God, and each of you find a stone, pick it up, put it on your shoulder, carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 6, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? And we'll read that in a moment, exactly what the response is to be. So in reality, in building a monument or an altar, they were recording, if you will, the mighty deeds of God. They were writing it down. I mean, they were showing in a positive way so that they would never forget to remember, because they knew that illustration is so powerful. Now, here's what I want to ask you. When you feel like God has put something in your heart, would you be willing to write it down and date it? Maybe in the margin of your Bible. I mean, write it down and date it, because somebody or something's gonna try to talk you out of it at some point. But go back and remember, review when God put that in your heart, even when you're not feeling it or when others are trying to talk you out of it. Numbers 11:23 speaks to it. Then the Lord said to Moses, in another situation, has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true. Maybe some of you are there today and you're acting like you would never say publicly, but you're thinking to yourself, I guess God's arm is short. I guess his arm has lost its power because I'm still in this situation. Well, I would ask you to do some review yourself and think, am I really walking in obedience? Am I walking all that God has spoken to me to do? Am I putting one foot? Am I willing to step my foot into the river even when the flood stage is there? Transferable principle, I believe. But let's come back to it. Let's come back to it. God put it there, something on your heart. Write it down. Write it down and record it. But I want to ask you this. Is the Lord's arm too short for you? No, look at me. Don't think Old Testament now or New Testament. I mean your present situation with your marriage, your relationship, your job, your kids, your grand. I want to ask you, is the Lord's arm too short? Could I just answer it? No. You know why? Because his arm can reach you and those you love, no matter where you or they may be. His arm is not too short. And some of you think, yeah, he's going to reach out and whap that kid of mine upside the head. No, it's an arm of compassion, and he's reaching out. And everyone you care about is reachable by God's strong, long arm. Are you encouraged by that? God's arm is not too short. Please, I'm talking about your situation. Man, I'm talking about your situation. God's arm is not too short. You just live in the yes. Not what people want you to do, but God, I'll do what your spirit puts in my heart. I will be faithful. I will say yes. Is the Lord's arm too short for you? By no means. Show it. And then the Bible says, don't stop with just showing. Don't just build the altar or the memorial, because if you're not careful, those things can become idols and we start worshiping those things. No, those are to remind us of the one true living God. It's to review who he really is. So we've got to not just show it, we've got to tell it. When I learn something, staff knows this new, at least I think it's new. I can't wait to tell it, to share it, to teach it, whatever, because I think it's a fresh insight for everybody. A lot of times they probably already know, but it helps me to think I'm sharing fresh insight. Maybe the Holy Spirit brought to my heart and mind out of a familiar passage, whatever. But it's one of the best ways I know to remember, to review, and to apply the truth. And the Bible says, if we don't do it faithfully, future generations may be in grave danger spiritually, repeating the same mistakes of being lost. And that's the emphasis of all three of our dedications today. We don't want our kids to go down the wrong road. We want them to follow God's faithfulness and discover his goodness. And so much depends upon us. We want our kids and grandkids to know that his faithful love endures forever, that his long arm extends to reach them and us. I love it. I remember years ago when the Roots series was on TV, Alex Haley's. Anybody ever see the series Roots? It was so riveting and it was graphic. It was heartrending. But something that really struck me, and I couldn't go back and find it quickly, but I just remember, I think it was one of the first characters, Kunta Kinte, who they would repeat the same story over and over and over and over again, because they never wanted the generations to lose their identity and who they were and where they came from. And if that's true in that sense, how much more true is that in our sense? Because We get in trouble when we forget our identity. We forget who and whose we are. And that's when we need to come back. My starting point is this. I am so embracing God's faithfulness of the past, I'm going to move into the future with that faithfulness of God that I'm reviewing and replaying in my mind, because my identity is now this. I am a child of God. And God always moves on behalf of his children, not always like we think or expect, but he's always working. He's always moving. Let's pick it up in Joshua 4, 6. We will use these stones. Listen to me carefully. We will use these stones to build a memorial. And I, you know, when I read that, I go, what are my stones? What are your stones? What stones does God want to use in your life to build an altar of remembrance? We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. I mean, keep the weeds down. Keep it trimmed up, okay, so you can see it, the memorial. You can tell them then. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among God's people, the people of Israel, forever. And they'll say, God did it then. He can do it now because he's the same God. He's the same God. The Bible says he never changes like shifting shadows, and I believe that with all my heart. He's the same God, and he'll leverage the same power that it took to open up the waters to do whatever. He'll release that power in your life, in your present situation. But our responsibility is to remember his faithfulness and to review it. That's where our confidence comes from. We're so prone, when everything goes how we think it should, we get full of self-confidence, and that can get shot down. David was full of God confidence. We need to be full of God confidence, saying, God, you've got your Holy Spirit thumb in my back, and I'm going to listen and watch for your prods, because I want to go in the direction you asked me to go. I want to walk in obedience. I said yes to you, and I said, come into my heart, and I'm not going to stop saying yes, because I trust you. You are a faithful God. You are a faithful God. Be decisive and take advantage of the opportunities to tell your children and grands God's stories. Don't ever get tired of repeating God's stories. Again, point to the monument, point to the memorial, tell them the stories. We don't idolize the stories. We're lifting up Almighty God who moved on our behalf when it seemed like all else was gone, when it seemed hopeless, because he's the same God. I'll end it here. No matter where you find yourself today, it's always best to review God's goodness in the past. That's going to bleed over into your present. It's going to take you and give you direction in the future. He is always faithful. We don't have to say he was. He is always faithful in this moment. Remember this. You are God's chosen instrument for such a time as this. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but I'm telling you, God has called you by name. You are his delivery system. Are you willing, in obedience, to step up and step into this challenge full of God confidence because you have embraced his faithfulness in the past? Are you willing to deliver his message of love and hope with boldness and consistency? As Nate's coming to the key, here's the bottom line that I believe is so true today. God's faithfulness in the past, as we review God's faithfulness in the past, and as we embrace and engage trust, and as we live to show and tell his goodness, doors will open like we've never seen, like we never thought possible, but we'll say in our heart, and I pray that somebody will get it right today, it's God. He's here again. He's showing up again. He's doing the same thing again. Hey, we don't read Old Testament, New Testament stories just because it was wonderful back then. It's the same God. You understand? His arm isn't short. And you know, for the life of me, I've been doing this a long time, I can't understand why anybody within the sound of my voice would not run into his loving arms and embrace him. Because he's good. He's faithful. Oh, I plead with you not to try to navigate your life and family by the circumstances that you see, because God's activity many times is unseen. You can't see it because he's the strong foundation that supports it all. And as we close today, maybe for some of you, you've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus. And really, a lot of times we don't want to go and we don't want to review the past because it reminds us of horrible things that have happened. But when you said yes to Jesus, no matter what the past has been, he's redeemed the past and he's given you a new start, a new direction. And I would plead with you just today, go palms up, say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm saying yes to a relationship with you. That's how these promises become true. And something else I want you to remember is that he's been working in your life even now. Before you say yes to him, he still loves you. He's still looking for you. His long arm is reaching out to you. And it's not the long arm of the law. It's the long arm of grace and mercy and compassion and love. And he wants to draw you close. Will you let him? Will you let him? It's one thing to try to hug your grands or whatever, but it's a whole nother thing when they let you hug them. You know what I mean? When they just kind of lean in and snuggle into you. Would you be willing to do that with God saying, I trust you? And I'm praying that you will be reminded. I'm praying that you will be reminded of something you haven't thought of. You're behind on your praise. You're behind on Thanksgiving today. As we conclude, Nate's going to sing. The altars and stairs are always open. What do you want to pray about? Maybe the Holy Spirit's prompting you to say, man, you prayed hard, but or you've been looking at this memorial, but you've forgotten that it's about God. It points to him and saying, we want to draw a line. We want to draw a line. A practical thing I'd suggest, some time ago, somebody recommended a 5-year journal because journaling is so good and it helps to document the show and tell about what God done, because you tell it, you show it. You can show it to yourself to remind yourself or review it yourself. You can show others. But a pastor recommended a 5-year journal, and sometimes we start out, I'm a writer, but you know, we write, but this just limited, and it's just like for 5 years, you can just write down just a thought or two of God's faithfulness, and you can date it on the day. I highly recommend it. You can easily get it online, a 5-year journal, very simple, a great tool to remembering, to reviewing the past. So let's just hold steady for a moment. Some of you need God to move now. I'm not suggesting that you live in the past today. I'm talking about you remember what God did and who he is and what he's done so that you can bring that into your present and take you right into the future. So, Nate, as we just kind of hover in a spirit of prayer and going palms up in our heart, I just love that posture, palms up. That's a place of surrender, of trust. It is like, you know, not a fist, just hands up, palms up, open heart, open palms. Nate, would you sing a little bit of that? You are the same God. Would you just let this soak in? He is. He is. He is.
I'm calling on the God.
If you know the words, just lift them. Calling on you, Lord, for my situation. Right here, right now, today. The circumstance, the river that's uncrossable.
I know that you will keep your covenant.
It's you, God. You're here. You're doing it again.
Calling on the God of Moses.
Do it again.
The one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same.
You are the same God. You are the same God. I love that theme. I've seen you move mountains, Lord. Do it again. By your power.
Oh my God. I need you,
arm.
Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
How I need you now.
Oh rock of ages, yeah. I'm standing on your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you.
Just tell him, cry out. Right here, right now.
God, I need you now.
Your presence, your power, your promise,
oh,
your person, your character, Lord. I need you.
Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
I'm going to invite you to stand prayerfully, quietly, if you would, for a moment. I'll pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the truth of your word. It just gives us so many nuggets of truth. David wasn't full of himself. He was full of God. And that lowly circumstance and that carried with him into the main stage of life and beyond. And And like the children of Israel, we may be fearful because of a place we're in and think that we can't do this or that or can't overcome. But Lord, you've called us and you've put that dream in our heart, and we want to cling to the promise of your word. As it aligns with the truth of your word, we want to cling to it and claim it. Thank you for your faithfulness. So may we reflect and remember and review those things you've done and bring them into the present tense and then on into the future, so we could have a renewed confidence and faith in you and trust in your faithfulness, your goodness. And may we this be a part of our spiritual life, our devotional life, a spiritual discipline where we review and think about and talk about God's love. May we live to show and to tell the goodness and the faithfulness of God. In our homes, in our families, with our kids and grands, in our places of business, work, whatever it may be, at school, no matter where we are, may we receive our assignment with grace that we are called to show and tell the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God. For those whose trust is wavering because they have expectations that don't necessarily align with your word or truth, or they think they know best, may they take hands off and say, God, I trust you. I could never dream of the way that you want to come through, but I surrender. I lift this situation to you because you are a faithful God. And may that be the thing that runs through our mind when our head hits a pillow tonight and when we wake in the morning. You are the same God.